That's where the story originates. But a few years ago, as Jimmy and Lisa walked into their house after school, but one particular day, they walked into the house, and again, they knew that he was coming. They knew that he was coming because Mom never went through all the preparations of cleaning and cooking the most incredible meal. It was Easter time. The house looked so cheerful. She had all the pretty Easter lilies and all the flowers, and the aroma was gorgeous. And now Mom was in the kitchen making all of those desserts that she only did during the special Easter weekend. But she only made carrot cake and hot apple dumplings when he came. And as Jimmy and Lisa walked into the house, Jimmy was muttering under his breath, "Oh no, not again. Lisa and Jimmy, I need your help in the kitchen, quickly." "But Mom, we have final tests to study for. We got homework." And then Mom turned to Jimmy and Lisa and gave one of those looks that only a mom can give. The look that said, "That will be enough out of you, young man or young lady." And so Jimmy and Lisa, they both trudged into the kitchen to help. And as they were helping, again they realized that when he came, they were in for an extra special bonus meal. So why not? I mean, Mom just went all out for him. So Lisa, that was there at the table, she was setting out the finest china and the silverware that they had. This was china and silverware that had been handed down to them from their grandparents. And those crystal goblets that were used only for very special occasions, with now that very special strawberry smoothie that Mom made. All their favorite foods, the fresh green salads, the sweet potatoes, the mashed potatoes and gravy, the homemade vegetables, I mean, you name it. All the dressings and homemade food that your heart could imagine. And especially that homemade bread, which was still in the oven. And it was one of the favorite aromas that Jimmy could ever smell. He just wished that he could fill up just on the smell. I mean, in this kitchen, even the aroma had calories. And little Jimmy couldn't wait to dig in. Oh, and he knew that he was going, first of all, for the mashed potatoes and gravy. He could fill up a whole plate and be happy. Oh, yum. It was early March. This family lived way up in northern Alberta, Canada, where it was very cold. And it was still really cold out, even though it was Easter. In fact, there was snow falling outside. But it felt so cozy to be in that nice warm kitchen with Mom and all those aromas, to be near the stove and the oven. "Okay, children, quickly, it's time for you to get cleaned up because he's going to be here pretty soon. Mr. Stevens will be here any minute." And just as Mom and Dad were finishing changing their clothes and cleaning up, coming out of their bedroom, they heard a knock on the front door. Right at 6 o'clock sharp. So Dad and Mom went to the door, and Jimmy and Lisa followed. They knew what good manners were, and so they were there to greet him. They opened the door, and there he was. "Oh, Mr. Stevens, Mr. Stevens," Mom cried. "Oh, it is so good to see you." And she just gave him a great big hug and a kiss on his cheek. And Father, too, he walked up and just gave him that great big bear hug. "We are so honored that you would come to be with us again," she said. "Here, let me take your coat and your hat and your scarf and your gloves. It's awfully cold out there tonight." So she helped him take off his wrap. And with that, after he had unwrapped the scarf and the clothes, he revealed his face. Oh, there it was. The ugliest face that Jimmy had ever seen. It was the most gross thing that Lisa had ever envisioned. I mean, his face was just covered with scars. And his hands were just all gnarly and scarred. And his lips were so badly scarred that they looked like he was sneering all the time. But even still, out of those lips, you could see a smile. I mean, several of his fingers were just welded together by scars. He was so hard to look at. I mean, he just made Jimmy just shiver all over with the creeps. And in fact, all the kids at the school, they had a nickname for Mr. Stevens. And his nickname was Old Scarface. That's what they called him. They even called it to his face. But after they called him, they made fun of how ugly he was. They would laugh and make jokes. But there Jimmy stood in front of Mr. Stevens, and there Mr. Stevens, with his scarred hand, he scruffed Jimmy's head. "Oh, it's so good to see you again, young man." Ooh, it just gave him the heebie-jeebies. Oh, and then when he extended his hand to shake hands, the hand felt so weird. They were so ugly. They all walked into the living room and they sat around and exchanged pleasantries. And it wasn't long before Mom said, "Okay, it's time for dinner." And so they all gathered around that table spread before them with this the most incredible food. And Dad had the prayer of blessing. Mr. Stevens was sitting at the head of the table as the honored guest. And sure enough, Jimmy went right away for the mashed potatoes and gravy. He was sitting right there in front of him, and he started taking one scoop, and then when he started taking another big scoop, Mom looked at him and said, with those, that look again that said, "Okay, little piggy, leave some for the rest of us, okay?" So Jimmy took one average-sized serving of mashed potatoes, but oh, he knew there would be more. Now, Mr. Stevens took very modest portions of all the food that Mom had made. His plate was full. But now was the hard part. They had to watch him eat. It was the grossest thing Jimmy had ever seen. I mean, his hands were so scarred that he had a hard time, getting his holding the fork and the spoon and getting the food into his mouth without it dripping down his chin and onto his shirt. And he kind of just like shoveled food into his mouth very quickly, and he'd wipe the food from his chin that was dribbling down. And Jimmy just couldn't help but peeking at him out of the corner of his eye as he was eating. I don't know what it is about humanity that we like to stare at the unusual. But there he was, trying to be as dignified as he could under the most horrible circumstances. During the course of the evening, there were a few times that Jimmy and Lisa made a couple of comments that didn't make Mom real happy about how they had more important things to do, like study and prepare for exams. But again, Mom had a way of shooting that glance that only moms can. Now was the best part, the dessert. So Mom walked into the kitchen and brought out all that, his favorite carrot cake and those hot apple dumplings. And he didn't know it, but Mom also had made him hand-churned ice cream. Woo! You hungry yet? Are you kidding me? Jimmy ate so much he couldn't fit in another bite. I mean, they were all just stuffed. Mr. Stevens wiped his mouth with his towel and just shook his head and said, "You know, this is the best meal I think I've ever eaten. Thank you so much. Well, let's go out to the living room and let's just catch up and visit. We're so honored that you had come. And so they went out to the living room, and children knew. They knew good manners. They knew that the table was to be cleaned, and they knew the dishes to be done. But that would have to wait till Mr. Stevens was gone. So they just left everything on the table. And they went out to the living room, and they began letting Mr. Stevens talk about the good old times. The good old times aren't always good. And sure enough, it was only a matter of time before Mr. Stevens would start talking about the good old days on the farm. The days when he'd be out in the field plowing behind two of the strongest, two of the smartest mules in the country. Talk about good-looking mules, he had them. Their names were Ned and Jed. The children had heard all these stories before. You know how it is with older people. You know, they sometimes tell you a story over and over again, thinking it's the first time you've heard it. And so they sat there and they listened to these stories again. But in their home, Lisa and Jimmy knew that they were to be respectful, and they were to be seen and not heard, and they're only supposed to be, they only speak when they're spoken to. Does that sound familiar? Oh, but they had heard many, many times a story about Ned and Jed. They were the smartest and strongest mules. I mean, these were in the days before modern tractors, the machinery we have now, and plows are very scarce. And only the wealthy farmers could afford such equipment. So Mr. Stevens, he'd get this big smile on his face when he'd start telling about how those mules would plow in the field, and the end of the work day, about 5 o'clock, it was quitting time. Ned and Jed would stop in the field, and if you didn't unhook the plow, they would head straight for the barn on a full gallop to get their water and oats. And you better make sure the plow was unhooked, because they were going regardless. They were hungry, and they were heading to the barn. Ned and Jed were, I mean, have you ever seen animals count? Ned and Jed were smart. They could count. You know how they would count? Mr. Stevens would say to Ned, 7. He'd pound his right front hoof 7 times. Wow. And then he'd turn to Jed and he'd go, 5 plus 4. And he'd stomp his hoof 9 times. Oh, I mean, these were smart mules. And then there's other stories that Mr. Stevens would tell. Jimmy and Lisa weren't sure how long Mr. Stevens was going to stay. But they were anxious for him to leave because they had more important things to do. Like talking on the phone with their friends. Like making up excuses to be lazy. But it wasn't long until Mr. Stevens announced that he had to go. The snow was falling outside. He didn't want to get stuck in a snowbank. And so he announced to the family that he'd have to go, that he couldn't stay any longer. And so Mom and Dad, they went to the front door and got Mr. Stevens' hat and his coat and his scarf and his mittens. The children, of course, they were taught to be honorable. They went to the door. Mom and Dad, they paused at the front door and they asked the children to gather in a circle. And so they gathered in a circle there, and they had a special prayer for their dear friend. Asked the Lord to protect him as he traveled. Then they gave Mr. Stevens all this the great big hug. I mean, Mom even kissed him on the cheek. I mean, Lisa thought, how could she do that? Ooh. Mr. Stevens got in his pickup, headed down the road. The children turned and they began running upstairs to call their friends and study for exams. But again, Mom, she reminded them, okay. Halfway up the stairs, they remember they turned around and headed to the kitchen. They helped clear the table and they helped do the dishes. And after the kitchen and the dining room were all cleaned, they started heading up the stairs. Mom turned to the children and said, just a minute. I need to spend some time with you. And so they came in the living room, and they go, okay, what do we do now? She said to them, you know, there were several times tonight where you said a few things that were not very nice. And there were times that I got the impression that you had more important things to do. And then I got to thinking, maybe you have forgotten, or maybe I've never told you the whole story of how Mr. Stevens got his scars. Oh, yeah, sure, we know. He got caught in some kind of a fire or something. Yeah, we know the story. I don't think you know the whole story, children. So I want you to sit down for a few minutes. I want to refresh your memory a little bit. So the children sat down. And she started telling how Mr. Stevens was once one of the biggest farmers in the land. He had many hired hands. He had many teams of work mules. I mean, Ned and Jed obviously were his favorite. But he was one of the wealthiest, richest farmers in the land. And one afternoon while Mr. Stevens was out plowing in the field with Ned and Jed, it was hot. He stopped to pause and get that canteen of water to quench his thirst, and he turned, and when he turned to look behind him, his heart nearly stopped. For there in the distance was a prairie fire that was sweeping out of control and was heading right for the little school that was just a mile or two away. Oh no, he thought. That brush fire is going to take the school and the children. And so he quickly unhooked Ned and Jed. He jumped in the back of Ned, grabbed the reins of Jed, and he galloped as quick as he could to the barn. Before those mules even stopped galloping, he jumped off. He ran over and he hooked up one of the farm wagons. Then he went over, he bought a bunch of farm blankets, the kind you keep animals warm in the wintertime. And he hooked them, and then quickly he shouted, "Giddy up!" And those mules took off at a dead run, as fast as they could gallop. They galloped straight for the schoolhouse, which was a mile away. When Mr. Stevens and a team of mules in the wagon got to the school, before that wagon even stopped, he jumped out of the wagon. He ran up the front steps of that school. Then he thought, "I'd better be calm." And so he very calmly opened the door, and he walked into the schoolhouse. And there, Miss Campbell was sitting at her desk teaching the children. Now, when the students saw Mr. Stevens, this handsome, strong, fun-loving man, they stood to their feet, as they were taught to do, and said, "Good afternoon, Mr. Stevens." "Oh, I never get tired of hearing you children. Oh, it's so good to see you again. Please be seated." He walked up and began whispering in Miss Campbell's ear, "Miss Campbell, listen, I don't want you to get real worried, but you see, there's a wildfire, a prairie fire, just a few hundred yards away from the school. It's coming this direction." It so happened that the school was situated in such a way that there was a wall there, and there was no windows where she could see the fire coming. And so he said, "Just be calm." So she lifted up her head. "Children," she said, "Mr. Stevens is here, and I need you to go to your cloakroom and pick up your coats and your lunch pails and whatever you have, and I want you to listen to Mr. Stevens." And so Mr. Stevens, very calmly and very, very clearly, he explained to the children that there was a fire coming, and he was going to take the children in his wagon to their homes. He was going to take them away from the school because they didn't want him to get hurt. Well, so Mr. Stevens instructed all. The school had 9 kids. It was one of those little country schools that you had all across the United States and Canada years ago. And so sure enough, he instructed those 9 children to come out to the farm wagon, and he would take them home. Many of them just lived just a few miles. So the children obediently, they went out, they climbed into Mr. Stevens' farm wagon. There were blankets for them to sit on. And just as they were ready to leave the school, nature played a very cruel trick. You see, this fire was so hot. The fire was burning this tender, dry grass and tumbleweeds. And many times the fire would cause a whirlwind. And sure enough, this whirlwind caught up a whole bunch of burning tumbleweeds and the wind shifted direction. And before they knew it, the entire school now was surrounded by fire. Hot, blazing fire. So Mr. Stevens quickly, he ordered the children to get out of the wagon. He quickly got those blankets and ran over to the drinking trough where the horses and the animals used to drink. And he took these blankets and he just dunked them in the water, just soaked them, brought them back to the wagon. And he explained to the children he wanted to get into the wagon, the teacher first, the larger children first, and the little children on top, kind of like stacking like cordwood. And then he took those wet, soaking blankets and he covered the children and the teacher and he tucked the sides in. And then he did something very strange. He took his jean jacket and he just took it off and he ripped it right down the middle. He had one sleeve in one hand, another sleeve in the other. Took a piece of baling twine and he kind of tied the sleeves into a halter to make sure that they stayed in place. And he tied those sleeves over the nose of Ned and Jed as a smoke filter, because he knew those animals would have to go through that smoke and that fire. The wall of fire was getting closer and closer. I mean, the children could already feel the heat. And they started to cry, and several of them were hysterical. And Mr. Stevens, it's okay, children. It's okay. You're okay. I'll get you out of this mess. And with that, Mr. Stevens jumped up into the seat of the farm wagon, and with a crack of the reins and with a shout, giddy up, those two mules, Ned and Jed, those obedient animals, they took off in a full gallop right towards that wall of fire that had surrounded them. They ran straight through that fire. And as they went through that fire, those wet blankets that were covering Miss Campbell and the children just started to steam and sizzle. I mean, it got so hot in there, they thought they were being fried. And it was just miserable. It was like a pressure cooker. But in less than a minute, that wagon came to a stop. And the only sound you could hear was the sizzling blankets and the roaring fire that had now passed through. Now, when the children realized that the wagon had stopped and they were safe, they threw off their blanket and looked around. Yay, they said, they shouted, we're safe. Oh, Miss Campbell, thank you, Lord, we're safe. And then they heard the awful sound of Ned and Jed crying. And as Ned and Jed fell to their knees with their hair still smoldering and burning, the children watched Ned and Jed take their last breath and died. And they went running up to Ned and Jed. Oh, no. And then so they turned to Mr. Stevens and said, oh, please come and help. Oh, no. No, Mr. Stevens. They went running up to him. And here Mr. Stevens was slumped over in the front of that wagon. His clothes, his hair, he was blackened and burned beyond recognition. Oh, no. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. He was barely breathing. They couldn't recognize this man. And so they went to turn to say, we got to get some help. And by this time, many of the local nearby farmers had seen the fire and knew where it was heading. And they were bringing their horses and their buggies into that schoolyard right at that moment. And right away, they loaded Mr. Stevens onto a wagon. They took him as quickly as the horses would gallop to a little hospital that was about 20 miles away. By the time they got there, Mr. Stevens was unconscious. The doctor told him he would never make it through the night. And so all the children and the farmers and the families, they gather around Mr. Stevens. They pray to God, oh God, please, please. Well, Mr. Stevens made it through the night. But for many months afterwards, they didn't know if he would live. But because he was so strong, and the farmers and their wives took such incredible care of him around the clock, he lived. But he was a mere shadow of what he was. And then, as Mom continued telling this story, She began to cry. Tears just started to flow. She just started to sob. She looked at the children and said, "Children, listen to me. The reason we love Mr. Stevens so much is because I was one of the little girls in that wagon. I was one of the little girls that he saved. He gave everything for me. Everything. And now, Jimmy and Lisa started to take it all in. And they started to recognize why Mom and Dad made such a big deal and made him such a hero. They now understood a love that was much more than they could ever understand. And as Mom was crying, Jimmy and Lisa gathered around their mom, whose face was red and covered with tears. They hugged her and they kissed her. They said, "Mom, now we understand. Now we get it." The next week at school, some of the boys were out on the ball field, and Mr. Stevens actually came by the school to see if he could see Lisa and Jimmy, because he had a special gift for them. And some of the boys out there that were out in the ball field, they started to laugh and make fun of old Scarface's here. This time, instead of joining in, Jimmy went up to him and yelled at them, "Don't you ever, ever call him that again. Do you hear me? He's my friend. And if you knew the whole story, he'd become your friend too." "Really?" The teacher was standing out in the porch of the school watching this encounter, this exchange. And so after school, she called Jimmy aside and said to him, if he'd be willing to share the story of old Scarface and how he got the scars. "I'd love to," he said. "When can I tell the story?" "Well, how about tomorrow?" Wow. So there Jimmy got up. Sixth grade Jimmy, who you couldn't pay to get up and stand in front of people and talk. But now he stood up in front of his classmates and his friends and began telling the story. And while he was telling the story, you could have heard a pin drop. A whole bunch of the boys came up to him afterwards and said, "Jimmy, hey man, we're on your side. If anyone ever makes fun of old Scarface again, you know, we're going to punch their lights out." Several weeks later, when the family invited Mr. Stevens to come over for another anniversary dinner, this time, when he came to the door, both Jimmy and Lisa couldn't wait to see him. And they went up to him and they hugged him and they kissed him like you wouldn't believe. They said, "Oh, Mr. Stevens, thank you so much for coming. Really, we love you so much. Thank you what you did for Mommy. How can we ever thank you enough?" True story. Mr. Stevens. What a man. What a hero. He risked it all for those children. But it gets even better. Jesus, what a man. What a hero. And throughout eternity, my friends, we're going to be reminded over and over again that the scars of Jesus mean life for me. Praise his name. That's the Easter story, in case you're wondering. That's the story of the gospel. That's the story that's going to live throughout eternity. And that's the story of the scars in his hands and his side. That's the story of the Son of God who walked on this earth and healed the sick and raised the dead and allowed himself to be tortured and hung on a cross. And I don't know about you, my friends, but throughout eternity, I want to be able to see those scars in his hands and feet and say to him in person, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Do you love Jesus today? I know I do. And the longer I live, the more I come to understand what he did for me. You see, just like this story touched the heart of Jimmy and Lisa, it made a difference in their life. And they came face to face with the reality of the gospel in the flesh. How a man could risk his life. The same thing happens to those who come face to face with Jesus and the scars of Jesus and are willing to say, "Okay, Lord, you got to touch me again. You got to touch me and fill me and make me a new person." I have told this story many times. And every time I tell it, it never gets old. And that's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a story that never gets old. Friends, this morning, I'm just wondering how many of you would be willing to raise your hand and say, "Lord, I've got some ugliness in my life, and I give you permission to touch me again.